Welcome.
Nice of you guys to drop by.
How are you today?
Bingo!
We would be honored if you would join us.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Caleb.
Hello, Brittany, and hello to everyone else that is listening, tuning in.
Welcome to His, Hers, Ours podcast, episode 4.
Yeah, we're on to episode 4 for the duration of our endeavor, and it's pleasing to know that we've actually been able to do it one a week that we started out as. That was our goal. So far, we've been able to keep up with that. We've learned a few things along the way. But again, thanks for joining us. This is episode 4, like Brittany mentioned. And in episode 4, we're going to be talking about a couple different things. In my portion, I'll be referring to a little bit in depth about why travel was kind of important to me and just travel in general for me. What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about coffee.
Okay.
Some coffee talk.
Yeah, some coffee talk is always good. And then for our portion, we're going to be talking about something a little bit different because it's like an idea. We're going to be talking about planning and what planning is to us and why, I don't know, sometimes it's important and other times it may not be. So just the quick broad overview for the week. Before we dive into my portion, did you need to say anything or anything like that?
Nope, I think you can jump right in.
All right, then, quick start for this episode. So, when Brittany asked me what I thought I wanted to talk about on this week's episode, it didn't hit me like all the other episodes that we've done has in terms of, you know, it was right then and there. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to talk about. And then I started thinking about travel and kind of why we started this podcast and, you know, the actual category that it falls in terms of iTunes, I believe, is like travel and places, or maybe that's Podomatic. So I was like, oh, maybe I should get back to that. So I decided to, and that's why I came about travel and kind of what it means to me. So what I really wanted to just get across is that the reason why it's been so important for me, and I hopefully you can chime in and maybe talk about why it's been important to you too over the years, because I think that'd be good to know. And I don't necessarily know if I know the full story, but basically I can start from the beginning. So I've always been, I guess, as you would refer it to, and a common place in the public is referred to as like a geek or like a nerd. And because of that, I've always been interested in, and I don't exactly know where I got that from, because it's not like neither one of my parents were really into pop culture or anything like that, at least not that I really know of. It's not a big deal to them, especially not my dad and maybe my mom a little bit. But
your friends,
when I was like 5, I didn't have many friends necessarily, but I'm just saying, because I can remember, you know, things when I was like 5 and 6 or 4, and that's when I got into these sort of things that I don't even know how it happened. I mean, I don't know, why would it, must have just been some sort of thing. It was like a gift given to me, like I'm referring specifically to like video games and like my Game Boy, because that got me into video games, which in turn got me into Nintendo, which in turn got me into Japanese culture, and then that just kind of expanded itself. But I was like 5 when...
You never asked for a Game Boy?
Well, I mean, I probably did. I don't know. That's what, I don't remember. Honestly, maybe my mom, because I know she started listening to our podcasts, can give some insight to me once she listens to this, or if anyone knows that's listening to this, why, that'd be great. But I don't know how it started, but that's kind of what spawned it for me. And what's interesting about that, at least in my head, is it's like a simple idea, and I was like a kid, but then I got into like the cartoons, and then cartoons led to getting into like animation, or also referred to as like anime in certain regards, and that turned my idea of just culture in general into one of something that I was really interested in. And again, it all stems back from a Game Boy, which I think is interesting. Where I'm really going with that is the inspiration can kind of come from anywhere at any time, I think. And once it kind of finds you for this sort of thing, I think it'll stick with you. And why I bring up my first like introduction to travel then is because fast forward about 10, now nah, maybe 6-7 years from when I was 5, so when I was about 12, still engaged with video games and whatever and cartoons and the culture of pop. But I got into like soccer, and I know I've mentioned that before. I don't know if on this podcast I have actually, but to you, getting involved with soccer, specifically fantasy soccer in the Premier League, it sparked my interest from fantasy football. And then my uncle, who I mentioned before, he's always been into soccer. But that spawned, his introduction to me spawned like what I thought about Europe then. And bear in mind, my only thing about travel was related to the Asian cultures at that point, which were interesting to me. And I guess rewinding, I think that getting introduced to Nintendo, aka like the Japan part of my interest, led me to China in that regard, and then just like Chinese food and their tea and culture and movies and all that kind of stuff. Because I was into movies as well, and I still am, and I still enjoy film. So both of those got me into that. And moving on from those two, I had never really dabbled in Europe or any other places or continents, I should say, until soccer came around. And over the course of like the last 10 years now, it's just like completely piqued my interest in everything. And it's all based upon soccer and my, I don't want to say love of the game because I don't even really play it. But the aspect that's astounding to me is just something simple as a game, which a lot of people have problems with sports. Kind of, or either you like sports or you don't, and you can be kind of a casual fan or a watcher, but you kind of know what I mean. Like, there's people that don't like sports because they think there's too much money invested, and it could be invested in other things, or it's just not fun to watch or whatever. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah, so say what you want about it, but it brings people and cultures together, and that's where I got, or because of that, the Premier League, specifically one of the biggest leagues in the world, they have a lot of different fan bases. People and a lot of different players from different nationalities and cultures playing. And because of my learning of that and the just even like the players' names, you know, names are interesting conversation yeah. starters. So that was interesting for me. And basically video games and soccer spawned me wanting to go to England someday and finding out things about France and, you know, specifically Paris and the French countryside piqued my interest in France. And then that kind of just blossomed and expanded from there. And I just think it's interesting that all of that started when I was probably 5 or 6, like I said, because of a Game Boy and, you know, a video game. And it's not going to work like that for everyone because, like I said, I'm a weird nerd kind of a kid. So those things are interesting to me. But I also like, I like sports. I think they're great. And I think they're integral in developing people and individuals. And I think it's cool that that's another part of culture and society that it can bring people together, even though there's crazier things happening. Like, people can come together over that. And I think that's important in the grand scheme of life to have something that can do that. So that's kind of where my travel bug started and has come, and the journey it's been on, for lack of a better way to describe it.
So you just felt inspired by all the different cultures you were being opened up to?
Yeah, basically. And I don't, it's like I said, I can't exactly put it into how that worked for me. Like, just the transition from being a kid to a teenager to an adult now. Like, how it actually played out over the course of those 15 years. But I know that the beginning and the end game so far right now, and that's how I feel. And it has stemmed from those things. So that's kind of just what I wanted to get across. And that I just want to encourage people that you never know when that kind of thing can come. And I think that's pretty cool that something as simple or inadequate as things you see in daily life, like video games or, you know, soccer or a game, could inspire other things. And I think that's kind of cool and bring a different point and aspect to those things. You know, you never know where that can come from. Could come from music or, you know.
I was just going to say that I feel like a lot of times it would be from what you see in movies or Pinterest.
Yeah, those things. And that's what's funny for me is that movies maybe helped, but it was after, like I said.
Yeah, you were younger.
Yeah, and I can't really pinpoint why those two things stuck out to me and stemmed the interest that I have now, but it's just kind of cool to see. So that's my story. Do you have anything to kind of share about how, I mean, I know we've talked about a little bit things before, but for people that don't know, kind of how your interest got started and why certain cultures and places are more important to you than others, and maybe something like that. I know this isn't your portion, but it's a question, and I've basically talked this whole time, so maybe you could talk a little bit.
Well, I definitely have never really thought about it as far as culturally I'll see something that I'm interested
in.
Yeah,
sure.
I think for me it's been more of just, like I said, visual places that I've wanted to go. Like, I'll see a picture of a place.
Yeah.
And want to go there. I've never really had a specific culture that I've been very inspired by, necessarily. Not one specifically. I think all cultures are cool in their own way, but...
Well, okay. So, my question would be more so, like, how you developed that you think all the cultures are cool in this some way, just from, you know, what you've seen of them, or...
Well, I just think I get bored with, like, not really our way of life, but just... Everyday life to me is kind of boring, and
yeah,
I think traveling for me is just exciting, and I think it's fun to explore different ways of life and living, and I think every time we go somewhere we kind of take away something new that we can apply to our lifestyles here.
Yeah.
So I think I like more of the learning experience. I don't necessarily go for culture necessarily. Like, you sound like you just are inspired by the culture specifically.
Well, to some degree, but I think you make a good point about just learning and adventuring off from the normal, because every culture is interesting to me, because we know basically one, well, we know a couple more now, but we know the one culture that we have, which is whatever it is, and that's fine, but it definitely can drag on you, I think, and why waste the time to not know the other places and societal things around the world if you can, you know?
Yeah. So what's the place you would visit if you could visit anywhere?
I mean, you already know the answer, but it'd be like Tokyo or Japan. Just because I don't know. It's really interesting for me, because this is kind of off topic. What we've been watching, The Man in the High Castle on Amazon, the series about the Axis powers winning the war. And so... the USA is not the USA, it's actually, or anymore, it's like Japanese/Germany. And it's just interesting to see people's attitudes towards Japanese and German people, basically. And why I say that is because my attitude isn't necessarily, I have no Mao intent or Mao, like, hurt or idealism about the Japanese people, or pretty much any people. Like, we've had our differences, and, you know, Pearl Harbor was a kind of crazy thing that happened, but it was just one of those historical events that had to happen, and my life isn't shaped upon, like, things like that. It's kind of just shaped its own view. So why I say that is just because it's just always been interesting to me as a culture, the Japanese people, and why that is probably due to, you know, like I said, I was a geek, and there's a lot of crazy, weird stuff in Japan. No offense to any Japanese folks, but it's, you know, you think of Japan, you think of, like, bright lights and big hair people and anime. I mean, come on, that's what you think of, right?
I guess.
If you ask any people what they think about Japan, that's what they probably mention things of, so... And those have always been draws for me. And I know there's other things that I would indulge in of their culture. So it would be Japan. What about you?
You already know. We talked about Italy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm. I mean, I thought I knew.
For me, it's more just about it's pretty. And as far as I know, it's pretty. And
as far as you see.
The food, I think I'll really like.
Yeah, we'll probably like the food a lot and the wine.
Well, what's your favorite part about traveling? Is that why? Or, like, just to see different cultures?
Well, my favorite part would be kind of what you said, being able to experience the different cultures in my own life, and that breaks up the normal, if you will. I mean, crap, if I could go to a different place every week, you know, I would just do that and not live a normal, quote-unquote, you know, day-to-day, basically, life. Or year to year, I should say, life, because if you are having a normal part, it's going to be the normal. Everything revolves around the same thing. So,
how would you rank travel versus other aspects of your life as far as importance?
I mean, it'd be number one or two. I mean,
like one over everything. That's the most important thing to you.
Well, if you I guess what are you considering? I mean, because my family, like you.
Yeah, hopefully and stuff. That would be more important.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I'm saying that you categorize that pretty high too. So we're including those is what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then it'd be like two or three.
I'm just wondering.
What about you, then?
Probably the same.
Yeah. I mean, the other family would probably be number one because that's important, obviously. Number two would just be, you know, myself and stuff that I think about. Like, I don't know, just what makes me happy. And traveling's part of that. So that's why I think that'd be number two. But if you're wondering why, like, you're not on there, it's because you're part of my family, so you're in number one.
I figured. Thank you for putting me as number one.
Yeah, but so traveling could probably go into number two, but if I had to make it a specific category, it would be number three behind myself, so, and just what I can do to have fun in my life that is, you know, my own thing. So those would be my categories.
One day we'll be a traveling family.
Yeah, well, we kind of are.
Yeah, but we only have each other right now.
But you never know. Well, it'll change, obviously. I mean, or at least we hope it'll change.
It will change.
For the better. So that's good. Well, yeah, that was pretty much just this week for me. I just kind of wanted to talk about why it's a big part of my life for people that don't know and how they can possibly find their own solace in that if they want to, you know?
Oh, what's your happy for the week?
We're doing that again.
Yeah, this is a normal episode.
Okay. So my happy for this week would probably be that we were able to go to a play on...
That's mine.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was pretty good. I enjoyed going down to Seattle. We spent the night in Seattle on last Saturday here, and it was really fun because we were able to go to a play at a theater and went to a nice bar spot that is probably one of our favorite places to go, and we'll be happy to go back. So just finding those two things and, yeah, going to a play because it was really fun and insightful. And
it was the first play we've been to, so it was really fun.
Well, not the first play I've ever been to, but we've been
together.
Together, yeah. So that's mine.
Well, that's mine too.
All right. Well, glad we're on the same page there. Cool. Well, that was good. Speaking of another thing that's good, then I would probably say that your topic of this week is very tasty, at least to us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So coffee. So, I mean, what made you want to choose coffee to talk about?
Well, coffee is just something that has always been a part of our relationship. I think I kind of started getting more into coffee in college, kind of when a lot of people start drinking coffee. And then Caleb and I went on a coffee date pretty soon after we started dating. I brought him to this cool little coffee place in Spokane. And from there, it just kind of grew.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's kind of what started with me, even though, I don't know, drank coffee for a while for no particular reason. But then, yeah, met you. And then kind of you got a job at a coffee shop. And then we both started working for a coffee company, and yeah, okay, that makes sense. Why do you think it's like a cool thing or like an important thing then? Because I'm assuming you do in some regard, yeah?
Well, yeah, what we like about it is just...
Well, not we, what do you like about it?
Okay, I like learning about it. I think it's way more technical when you start getting more into coffee drinking and learning about coffee than meets the eye.
Yeah, well, definitely is.
Well, I don't know. I like when we started getting more into specialty coffees and learning how to make coffee and about the different beans and different types of coffee. I just think it's a cool culture.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it represents anything else to people?
Sure. It can probably mean a lot of things.
Okay. So the question was kind of broad. But I mean, like, do you think, you kind of said before, but like a conversation starter and people use that, you know, as like a date mechanism or a culture mechanism, but do you think that's something that has people do because they think that, or just because it's like a known thing to do?
No, I think it's definitely social, because I think a lot of times it's a good way to meet up with people.
Yeah.
Like whenever I'm meeting a friend I haven't seen in a while, usually we go get coffee.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to just, well, it's not fun, but it's nice to just sit and enjoy a cup of coffee, then take it on the go and just take it wherever you're going.
Yeah. Well, I guess also what's interesting, or why I kind of asked that or mentioned that too, is because some people don't actually like coffee. And that's kind of why that was in my mind when you brought up coffee, is that people will do those things, but they don't actually like coffee.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Why do you think that is?
I guess it is kind of just a thing to do.
Yeah.
But it is kind of interesting because a lot of the coffee culture is like Starbucks-y, and you're drinking like a white chocolate mocha, and it's not really coffee.
Yeah, I mean, coffee's used to make it, but it's not coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. It's kind of what we're talking about is more actual coffee, like the flavors of coffee and finding a well-made cup of coffee or a well-made latte or a well-made cappuccino.
Yeah, I think what is interesting too is, because you've even said it, is that you don't necessarily like just a black cup of coffee.
Yeah, it has to be a pretty special cup of coffee for me to enjoy it black.
Yeah, so with that being said, I mean, it's still makes sense that people want to go to these things that don't necessarily enjoy coffee. But there's also the people that probably just drink black coffee because they want to drink black coffee. They don't actually care about the flavors. They just don't want to put anything in it. And
I guess it's also just kind of fun to go to new coffee shops.
Well, it's fun to go to anything new.
Yeah, but coffee shops are cute, and they're usually like a good study environment, relaxing.
No, yeah, they're definitely relaxing. They're inviting and whatever. I wouldn't necessarily say everyone thinks they're cute, but
well, a lot of them are.
To you, I'm just saying, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's, you know, cool.
There's plenty of reasons why people would go.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I was really just trying to figure out why people would want, or why you think people like to go to places and get something that they don't necessarily like, because like you mentioned, specialty coffee, or the art and the stuff behind the coffee beans is almost more interesting than the making of an espresso-based drink.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people are going and they don't actually like coffee, maybe it is just because it's a good activity that's not super expensive, and it's just a good place to, like, mingle.
Yeah.
That would be why I feel like people go.
Do you think people need to, like, because you don't like to drink a lot of black coffee, and it's not because you don't like the flavor, but you're kind of very specific about the flavor that you want in your coffee, right?
Yeah.
So do you think if people could find the specific flavor that they like, they'd be able to just get a black cup of just fresh brewed coffee, not fresh made espresso? Like, do you think that's possible?
Maybe not for everyone. I think it's pretty likely you could find the right cup of coffee for you if it's made correctly and made with the right kind of beans and has the right flavors for you. There's potentially a cup for everyone, but I think there really are people who just don't want any coffee flavor.
They drink it just because?
Yeah, I mean,
just for the caffeine or because it's sweet sort of thing?
Yeah, I think if you really don't like the flavor of coffee, you're probably getting something that's sweet enough or has enough flavor to cover up a lot of the coffee flavor. Or maybe you're getting something other than coffee on the menu. Most places have things other than coffee.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, but it is interesting to see people go through those things for benefits of coffee when they don't necessarily like coffee.
Yeah.
Well,
are you trying to make a point?
I don't know. I mean, it's your topic. I'm just making things or ideas that I've seen in my association with coffee. Like, come out and kind of just get.
Well, what about you? Because the first time we went to coffee, you weren't necessarily a coffee drinker.
No.
So wouldn't that be the scenario you're talking about?
I guess, yeah. I mean, once I started realizing that a good cup of coffee tastes mightily different than just a, you know, brewed or, excuse me, like Keurig-based coffee, it kind of just flipped the script. And since coffee has so many different flavors that can be brought out due to the beans and the processing of the beans, it's pretty crazy to see that sort of change. And I don't know, it was eye-opening, I guess, for me, and enough to change how I look at and enjoy coffee. Because now, I mean, I would take a good cup of black coffee any day if I could get it. Even though I don't mind espresso and milk-based drinks, I'm not a super sweet person in that regard. I like sweets, but not in something like that. So, yeah, I definitely changed how I feel about it. And I don't know, I just think that there is some sort of coffee out there for everyone. And if you don't drink coffee for the flavor of coffee and just do it for the caffeine, I think you should just drink something else because there are way better alternatives. But if you enjoy coffee, go for it. I don't know.
We know a lot of people who drink coffee for the good flavors, like go to Starbucks and get a drink that doesn't taste like coffee.
That's,
so
that's because Starbucks
you're probably making enemies.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's because Starbucks puts like cocaine in the white mocha powder, gets people addicted. No, I'm just joking. Obviously, that's not true. But
no, I enjoy I just use Starbucks because everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
But I enjoy those drinks every once in a while.
Yeah, there's nothing like, wrong with them.
Yeah. But as far as if I wanted a good cup of coffee, I wouldn't go to Starbucks and order like a white mocha, yeah, which I like to enjoy. But yeah, that's not really what I'm looking for if I'm going out in search of a good cup of coffee.
Yeah,
and
of
we okay, we were both baristas at Starbucks, so there's nothing wrong with Starbucks. It's just, it really isn't necessarily a high quality beverage.
No, I wouldn't say it's not high quality. It's a different kind of quality. It's a consistent quality, quote unquote, that they can put out. Like, they do the best. I mean, because I learned a lot about Starbucks and their practices from my training as like the coffee master thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see. But they do try to get as good of quality stuff as they can, but they're also a company, and that's where that comes from.
Right. And their focus is being able to make that consistent cup of coffee as fast as possible.
Yeah, because they're the biggest coffee maker in the world, and or producer and maker in the
world. Yeah, and if you're going through the drive-through for a quick cup of coffee on your way to work or something, that's a great choice.
Yeah, there's no better choice. I mean,
right, and that's why so many people go there.
Yeah, because it's good for what they want, and it's consistent pretty much 9 times out of 10, even though a lot of mm-hmm. people you talk to always bash on Starbucks. Which is always funny to me. If you don't like it, then don't go there, but that's never going to stop people, as we've both learned, so...
But it is cool to find places that go more in depth and have a staff of baristas who specifically know what they're doing. And that's care. Like, yeah, and care about it and are passionate about coffee and are making sure that the cup of coffee they serve you is like a one-of-a-kind cup of coffee.
Yeah, as best they can.
Right. And that's where the whole thing is a little bit different. Starbucks obviously has like intense training, not intense, but like in-depth training, but people are just kind of going through the motions because that's what you have to do.
Yeah, that's how you get through your day at work.
Yeah, so it's just not like every cup of coffee is like a piece of art.
Yeah, well, I mean, it can't be if you're serving, you know, 700 customers a day.
Yeah.
So, and that's
exactly, it's just not built for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it's fun to find places that are designed like that.
Yeah.
And you can talk to the baristas about what they're doing and why they're doing it and what coffee they're using.
Or you can just talk to the baristas in general because they can talk to you.
Yeah.
Which is always nice.
At Starbucks, it's very annoying when customers are trying to talk to you and it's super busy, which is a bummer. But
yeah,
it's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to just keep necessarily talking about Starbucks and comparing it, but there are things that people think of when they think of coffee that I wish was kind of different, and that is what I kind of think you feel the same too. You know, why do people think coffee? They instantly think of like a white mocha at Starbucks because, like you said, that's not necessarily coffee. People, I wish it'd be easier to kind of let people in on that. You know, coffee is a bean that's produced from a cherry, and the whole process is just astoundingly cool and pretty amazing if you think about it. And the ways that, or the product that it produces is like a life, you know, for some people, because we figured that out in Costa Rica, and they take pride in that, and they make genuinely great cups of coffee, and they just, but it's just black coffee.
Yeah, okay, not everyone can just go to Costa Rica and visit a coffee farm, but
no,
that was so inspiring. Like, we stayed on a coffee farm, we got to see all the coffee plants she grows, and
the whole process,
and then she brewed us coffee every day from her farm, and she loved it, and she taught us a lot about it, and I don't know, that was really cool, and that was one of those things where coffee is more than just going through Starbucks every day for us.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of saying too. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I wanted to talk about it. Is just there's more to it to me than just like drinking a latte every day.
Yeah, well, that's why I guess I kind of was saying, like, do you think it's necessary, or I mean, is it important? Because it's important to us for a lot of different things, and that's because of our experiences we've had with it. And
yeah.
I think everyone could benefit from potentially seeing those things because it opens, you know, kind of like what happened to me, I guess, with my travel inspiration. Like, it opens the door to yourself and figuring out things that are better or worse for you, or that are just important to you and that you can build from and, you know, shape your life how you want it a bit, like, better for you. So I think coffee's a great, I guess, benefit of that, at least for us.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just nostalgic about it. Like, we were just talking about this, but I don't necessarily just drink coffee every day just to drink coffee every day.
Yeah, we did just have a conversation because we just ran out of coffee from our Starbucks days, which is pretty crazy, actually.
We stocked up before we left.
Yeah. But we were like, we started drinking just English tea, breakfast tea, black tea, just because we would make coffee a lot of the times in the coffee pot, and the coffee pot is not a great way to replicate. You're going to get some distinct flavors, but it's going to just completely butcher or mask all the actual good flavors of coffee.
It's just not our favorite way to drink coffee.
No. But, so we've resorted to tea, but I've missed being able to get or make a good cup of coffee, and I think that's kind of what drove us away of just using the stupid brewer every single day.
Yeah. Just because I literally am not drinking it just to drink coffee in the morning.
No, you're drinking it just because...
I would drink it if I was really enjoying the flavor, just like with any drink.
Yeah, of course.
But we don't have the luxury of just going and getting our favorite cup of coffee every day.
No, not
yet. We haven't even found a... We just moved recently and haven't even found a good coffee place around us, which is so sad.
Yeah.
I thought there would be so many options over here, but you have to drive quite a ways to get to anywhere decent.
Well, I think the problem is there's so many options and none of them are necessarily special. And where we were, there was maybe an adequate amount of options, but they weren't all of them special until there was a couple that were special.
Yeah, we still had to go like downtown to get a decent cup of coffee, but here we would have to drive like 45 minutes.
Yeah, half an hour,
45
minutes.
To get to Seattle.
And even then, it may not find a good... I don't know. We haven't really explored Seattle.
They're supposed to be good places.
Yeah.
I found some I want to try.
Okay. Maybe we'll try them. But okay. So that you pretty much touched on all the things that I figured you would. My last question then, I mean, if you were going to go, or if you're just going to go anywhere and you wanted to try their coffee, would you try like a black cup of one of their roasts if they roast their own coffee? Hopefully they do, because I think that distinguishes a good coffee place from not. Or would you get like, you know, a vanilla latte that they would make? How do you kind of test?
Well, for my first, if it was my first experience,
yeah.
I don't really care about a black cup of coffee. I'm worried more about the espresso.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. So I would probably get, well, we've gotten like an espresso shot, or I would get probably some sort of espresso with milk to try it. I've always been afraid to just get a single coffee shot because most of the time they're not very good, but we have had just a shot of espresso that tasted amazing, and that was kind of a eye-opener and a cool experience. Like, if you can just drink a shot of their espresso, that's a pretty good telltale sign.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited for Italy. I just have, like, you know, they like their espressos.
Hopefully it's good, yeah. So I don't know if I'd get just a shot of espresso, but something espresso-based. Like, I like cappuccinos, and I don't know, for my first one, I probably wouldn't get something super milk-based.
Sure. But yeah, cappuccino.
Something where I could taste the espresso.
Yeah, because that's important. Well, cool. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add really quick to anyone?
No. It's just been something that's been persistent throughout our relationship in different ways, whether it's just us going and sitting down and having a cup of coffee to enjoy together and talking over a cup of coffee, or being baristas for a while and just learning about coffee together. It's just been fun.
Yeah, no, it has. And it's, yeah, it's been a
coffee's cool.
Coffee is cool for that regard, or in that regard. Awesome. Well, the next kind of aspect of this episode is going to stray away from both of those topics and kind of cover each and every one, because I know that planning isn't something that we necessarily do a whole lot, even though some people probably...
Yeah, people who know us probably think we don't plan anything.
Yeah, and just go wing it all the time, and that's not true, but... We wanted to talk specifically about planning together because we think that there are times where it's definitely necessary to plan something, and there should be times where it's definitely necessary to not plan something, because you're going to gain something more out of it in some way, shape, or form. And we think that's something everyone kind of needs to balance out or just think about when they go through things. So starting out, I just wanted to say that traveling and kind of what I talked about can definitely be a great example of why I think you need to plan things out, and why we're feeling, or why we are with our Europe trip finding we need to plan certain things out, but also not fill out our entire times, because we've done that on trips and it's just been taxing and not even, it's almost unenjoyable.
Right. And we, I'd say, are benefiting a lot from expanding our Europe trip and making it longer than anticipated, because it's allowing us to not have to plan every moment. But yes, trips in the past that have been shorter have obviously been very planned, because there's just certain things we wanted to fit in. So yeah, I think, like you said, there's just times where you need to and times where you don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and it's just interesting to feel how that works out. And I think most people have to find that for themselves, kind of. It's not something you just know. You learn after your experiences with planning and not.
What works and what doesn't.
Yeah. But I think that it is important to find the balance of both. And I mean.
Yeah, not just with travel. Just like in general.
Yeah. I mean, in kind of like what you were talking about with coffee, it's fun to make a spontaneous trip and do something that you like to do. And it's fun if we ever go off and want to go get a coffee on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning or whatever, that we just go off and hopefully find something that works, and that's fun. And other times it's great to plan out, you know, a night down in Seattle. But they each have their ups and downs, and I guess I just wanted to talk about, you know, our benefits and struggles, I guess, with that kind of this week. So, and that's kind of why we came to grips with that topic. What do you think the hardest thing for us about planning stuff out is then?
Well, I think we've ran into a few times where you like things to be loose and free to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
With most things.
Yeah, that's true.
And I do too, in a way. Like, I like doing spontaneous things that aren't planned, but I also get stressed if certain things aren't planned out.
Like what?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to money. Like, I guess the recent example is just with Europe. To me, it's like I want things to be planned out because we have a budget and a pretty tight budget that we're trying to stick to. And so I don't want to get there and not have anything planned and end up spending more than we have.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel in general, too, is a lot of things are budgeted right now. And if we don't plan out what we're doing, sometimes it'd be hard to stick to a budget.
Then does it all just come back to budget-based kind of? I mean, you alluded to that, but...
I'm just saying, like, if I'm planning it, it's usually because it's revolving around a budget.
So you're trying to save money?
Yeah, typically.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you budget things, but do you think then it'd be different if you didn't have to worry about those sort of things?
Probably.
Like, how so? Do you think you just wouldn't... Would you plan as much to capitalize on not spending as much money, or would you just plan as much to just not be stressed out about not knowing things?
Are you saying, like, if I had enough money to do whatever I wanted?
Well, yeah, within reason. I mean...
Well, then I wouldn't have to worry about finding the cheapest place to stay whenever we go somewhere, or finding, like, cheap restaurants.
Well, of course, but that's not my point. I'm saying if you didn't have to worry about it, would you worry about planning things in general? Because I know that there's people that I know that still are like super, they have to have every detail in a row no matter what circumstance they're in.
No, you know that. Like, I think we have broad things planned, but they're always changing. Like, if we do have a plan of action, it's not set in stone.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. And that just comes back to the kind of people we are. But I guess I then wonder if planning in general comes back to kind of the person you are and how that works. I mean, it would make sense, yes. But on the one hand, people, it's just planning is, you know, like rain is to water. At least when you're traveling or trying to do things, you have to plan like everything. And that's just a staple kind of what.
Well, some people will just go.
Yeah, I know. And I mean,
wing it.
Yeah. And it's definitely fun when you do those things. But I wonder how you can find a balance for yourself.
Like me personally?
No, just for, I mean, for, in broad sense, like how we kind of find it. Because, I mean, we're pretty good. We talk about and have ideas for a lot of things. And we may or may not get to all those ideas. And even if we agree to do one idea, we still may not plan out everything about it because we want to find our own thing or something of that nature. I'm not exactly sure why we kind of gravitate towards the more wing it option if we can, but we just do rather than knowing what we can do. And I just wonder if there's a reason.
Well, I think it's definitely personality.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the kind of person who just needs everything structured and laid out ahead of time, obviously you'd be planning every aspect of your life.
You know, I know. I just wonder why that's or how that becomes important to people, I guess. Because I have no idea why that kind of thing isn't important to me, honestly.
I don't know. It's just a personality.
Yeah. Okay. So we've basically concluded that planning is related to personality. And
wouldn't you say?
Well, no. I agree. I totally. I mean, it is because, yeah, we have laid back personalities about most things. And
do you ever plan?
A few and far times between. I mean, I don't know. I like to not plan as much as we can just because I think it stresses me out more if we plan things. And I don't know.
Yeah, with Europe, Caleb would probably prefer if we didn't have anything planned, wouldn't you say?
Well, not anything, no. I mean, I want to know where we're staying.
I talk reason into him.
Yeah, you try. I mean, and it works because obviously you have good points about it. But it is something that we have to figure out for us. So it's just a thing that, I don't know, we've made it work and have figured it out that what works. Because I'm one way and you're more planner. You're the more planner one in the family.
Yeah, well, anyone plans more than you.
Well, I know, but I don't, and I'm not sure why I'm like that.
I'd just go over the plan with you and get your opinions and ask what you think.
Yeah.
That's and necessary. Then boom, you have a plan.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just like me.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting thing because everyone does it a little bit differently. And I guess everyone's personality is a little bit different, so that would probably more solidify the argument that we have proposed that it is related to personality. So maybe once you know yourself, you can know how you need to go about your life, I hope. I don't know.
I think you're right. There needs to be like some sort of balance, figuring out what you need planned and what you don't need planned. Because I think even though Caleb doesn't necessarily plan a lot in the sense of sculpting out his life, I think he still has a plan. You know what I mean? Like, you have a general life plan.
Yeah, of course.
And goals.
I mean, that's necessary because I think...
Do you consider that planning?
Well, yeah, definitely. If you have goals, you pretty much have to plan how you're going to achieve those goals.
Right, so you're like a loose planner.
Yeah.
But you're not like every detail of life needs plan.
No, definitely not.
Do you think you could benefit from planning more?
Depends on what I'm benefiting and what I'm planning.
I'm asking if you would benefit.
I know, I'm just saying like in general. I mean, if I, well, like what, I mean.
Or do you think you would?
It would just depend. If I planned out my, you know, breakfasts for the week, yeah, it might benefit me from time. Or if I planned out my lunches, maybe. I mean, we plan out our lunches the day of or sometimes the day before. So we might save time. But I just don't know why or what that would do differently to how I approach, you know, my day-to-day life in any different light.
I think if we planned every single day, it would end up being like every day kind of routine. Everything you do the same.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't necessarily try to plan as much is because
I don't think we'll ever be day-to-day planned out.
Well, no, I don't think so either. But, I mean, that's why I try to avoid as many things as I can so it doesn't feel repetitive and forced to carry out those plans kind of thing. And that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is probably the good thing about not always having a plan is so that if things were to go a different way, it's not stressful. Like if you had planned out your entire day and one thing changes, it wouldn't matter.
No. Yeah. I mean, and that's why I like it. It's really free flowing. But again, that probably comes back to our
personality.
Basically.
I'm telling you, all it is.
I mean, there's no reason not to think that that makes a difference. So
yeah. I'm glad it doesn't stress you out when things change.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, we've seen how it can stress people out if things change. And
people probably get so annoyed with us because we can change our minds from day to day on what we want to do or what our plans are. And that's just how we, like, it's fun for us.
Yeah, and it should be fun for anyone, hopefully, if they can do that. Or we get more joy and such out of those sort of interactions rather than planning out meticulously other things.
Yeah, probably no one ever knows what to expect from us.
Well, no, they don't. And that's it's kind of fun to think that we're those people. But I don't know if that's bad or good. But
I think every time I talk to my parents, it's like, so here's the new plan.
Yeah, it's true. But at least I think what's good about that, though, in some regard, is that the good plans and the bad plans then must get weeded out if we constantly change them.
Yeah, hopefully we're always improving our plan, like figuring out a way that this could work out better for us.
Yeah, so I mean, if we don't carry through with that, we know that it's probably not the best idea for whatever we were thinking about, so.
I think a good way to look at it for both of us in different ways, but we're both like this, is that we don't necessarily plan things, but we think about things very, very thoroughly.
Yeah, definitely. And thinking could be related to planning for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But until you, I guess, use the word plan, then it's just random thoughts in your head. So
yeah, I think we think about every scenario before we make a solid decision.
Yeah, we do. So
figure out what's best.
Probably relates to that.
Well, yeah, that was fun.
I guess one way to look at it. I mean, it's fun for us.
Yeah, tell us what needs to be planned.
Yeah. Give us your thoughts on what you think you benefit from planning out and, you know, following to.
Do you hate people like us that don't plan every day?
Yeah, let us know that too. Just, I mean, any.
I just want to know.
Yeah, it'd be insightful to see what other people think and how they think about that. If you do have any comments and concerns or questions or any mentions of anything that we've talked about, again, you can reach us by email or Twitter or even Instagram. Our email is hisherzourspodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is hisherzourspod. And then our Instagram is hisherzourspodcast. We will be checking those. Obviously, we check them as much as we can. So if we hear from you, you'll hear from us.
Yeah, and if you liked this episode, it would be really cool of you to go on iTunes and leave us a review. You can be honest.
Yeah.
We'd love to improve.
Obviously.
And, oh, subscribe.
Yeah.
We need more subscribers.
Well, if you feel like you want to subscribe, go for it. If not, I encourage you to let us know why you wouldn't want to subscribe. And maybe we can use that as constructive feedback because, you know, I think that's important for everyone to hear. So anything that we can improve on, please let us know. Anything that you like, dislike, please let us know.
Okay, and last thing. Caleb likes to go on and on. But last thing, we would love if you wanted to support us going to Europe. And we set up a GoFundMe.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's GoFundMe.com/Caleb and Britt Go to Europe.
We'll leave a link in the description. No pressure, of course, because we will be fine. But we set it up in light of, you know, gifts for birthdays and whatever.
Christmas.
Or just random occasions.
Just instead of gifts, yeah. We would like a donation.
Basically, yeah. We'll ask for a donation. So if you feel inclined to support our free spirits wandering around Europe, please do. If not, it's cool. We don't hold it against anyone, but
it's just there if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That was a fun episode 4.
Yeah. Again, see us here every week, Mondays. This week will probably be different, but Monday we'll have a new episode. We don't have a time frame.
Now you can look forward to Mondays.
Yeah, of course. And again, follow us, subscribe to us. All the links are in the description. If you need show notes, they're there too. So make sure to check those out.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Stick a fork in me. I am done. See you soon.
Any more questions?
Going so soon?